tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday afternoon, July the 2nd, 1984. This is the summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. George Leroy is the speaker of the afternoon. This tape may have a few spots that are hard to be understood. It's beyond our control, and we're sorry.
We praise thee, hallelujah, Lord, hallelujah, Lord, hallelujah, Lord, glory, glory.
Hallelujah. We would see your glory, Master, that as we lift our hearts with thanksgiving and praise, we thank you for what you are doing in us. Lord Jesus, as we approach the throne of grace, we pray today the Shekinah glory of God to fill every heart and every life. For Lord, no man can do what you want to do in every heart and every life. And so we, Lord, today submit in total obedience and subjection to you. And pray, Father, that Christ will have his way through the power of the Spirit. That, Lord, healings will take place. Deliverances, Lord, will be manifested. And, Father, whatever else is needed, only you know through the anointing of your Spirit. We give you praise and just glorify your name. And we love you. And words can't express, Father, how we feel as we lift up our hearts and our lives to the throne of God. So have your way, Father, today. And bless every life that, Lord, is within the sound of my voice and, Lord, within the presence of your Spirit. Just move out and, Father, like a river, envelop that life. And, Lord, bathe them with the love of God and the anointing of God until, Master, they come forth, Lord, knowing what it is to walk in the anointing, knowing what it is to live in that realm, knowing what it is to have the intimacy and the union and the association with Jesus Christ in a fellowship that's far beyond what we could ever ask or think. So have your way in every heart and every life, Master, and we'll be pleased to give you the praise and the honor and all the glory, for we ask it in the name of our Lord and Savior and Master, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, today, this afternoon, I'd just like to share a little bit on the glory of God. Hallelujah. There's so much in the Scripture. These are basic Scriptures, so that maybe you that are new don't fully comprehend it or understand. Maybe through the grace of God and the anointing of the Spirit, you'll understand a little more. I can't tell you how it feels. I know how it feels, the glory of God. I know what it feels like to be encompassed with it. I know what it feels like to have a oneness and a union with Jesus Christ for a matter of minutes. And as he spoke and as he spoke through me, my will and his will were one. My spirit and his spirit were one. The flow that came forth was my voice. And yet I knew it was Christ speaking in me and through me. I can tell you about it, but I can't explain it to you. I can't tell you how it feels. And I would say there's no feeling like it in this world. There's just no feeling like it. And when it was over, that split time that I had, when it was over, I thought, my God, it just didn't happen. It just isn't real. And it wasn't a dream. It was the real thing. Because when you're a hardcore Canadian and a strong assemblies organizational man, why, it's going to take something like that to knock the wind out of you and get you into where God wants you. But it's coming. I can only say it's coming. The glory of God's coming. And I mean it's coming out of you. Coming forth out of you. Not, it's coming forth out of you. And that's the That's the reason. That gives you motivation, incentive to move into the things of God and walk and live in the Spirit. And, you know, you get to the place, I've come to the place where nothing really matters. Nothing really matters. I like to hunt. I used to like to hunt. I don't hunt anymore. Kind of go out in the woods if I do with the young boys that we have in our fellowship just to kind of get them together. And I'll sit there and just kind of sing choruses and just enjoy the woods. I have a crossbow that I bought from one of our young men, and I don't use it. I just have it. And kind of builds a rapport between him and me. And when we go out and we'll walk in the woods, because he's a woodsman, he loves to walk in the woods, and I'll go with him, and then he'll leave me and I'll leave him, and I'll just glorify God and kind of enjoy the stillness and the peace that God has for us as we enjoy him. Nothing matters. I have two cars, and they're just a pain in the neck. They're just a pain in the neck. They're running liabilities is what they really are, and there's just no attraction for those things. No attraction. Now, I don't say I don't go shopping. When my wife goes, I'll take her. But now with two cars, I can say, look, dear, why don't you go, and I'll wait for you. You have a car you can drive. But nothing holds anything for me. We have a new church, and the new church we put up for $550,000. Our property's worth $800,000. Congregation that's growing, loving God. Yet even that doesn't hold an attraction. I'm there as their shepherd. I'm there in the will of God. And I have a heart for the people of God. But I'm just not there. I can't explain it to you. I am and I'm not. I really haven't put my roots down. I've been there 8 years, and I really haven't put my roots down. Always listening. Always listening. Lord, when you're ready, I'm ready. When you're ready, I'm ready. And I don't mean to be raptured either. I mean, wherever God wants me to go, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to do. And that's just because you get more acquainted with the glory of God, with Jesus Christ. And in Romans 1, and you know the scriptures, and you can look at them, Romans 1, 15 through 17. So as to me, there is readiness to announce also to you who are in Rome, the glad tidings. For I am not ashamed of the glad tidings of the Christ. And I'm not ashamed of the glad tidings of the Christ. You see, the glad tidings of the Christ really haven't been preached by the church. The gospel of the kingdom is what Jesus preached. And that's found in Luke, as you may well know. If you just want to turn with me just for a moment, we'll look at it just so... These are the glad tidings that I feel that Jesus Christ preached. And I found that to be so in Luke. If I can find it, you'll have to help me. It's where he stands up in the synagogue. In Luke. I believe it's Luke. Somebody finds it, just let me know. We just get started. We got lots of time. Thank you. That's it. 4:18. And Luke, hear the glad tidings, Luke 4:17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he says, and he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ear. And what it means is that this day it's been ratified, and you know what ratification is. If you're on strike with the union, and they settle, then they go to the union, and the union ratifies it. Now Jesus says, this thing is in effect. And it'll go on, and it'll go on, and go on. As long as I'm around and things are going, it's just ratified. It's just going to keep going on. And so this gospel of the kingdom is going on, as far as I know, to the next stage and the end of it. And where it goes from there, that's in God's hands. But it's going on to preach deliverance and recovering of sight to the blind. And this was the gospel that Jesus preached. And so Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the glad tidings of the Christ, for power of God it is unto salvation. To everyone that believes, it's power to you that believe. If you believe this, it's power to you. To everyone that believes, both the Jew first and the Greek. Now, the next verse says, for righteousness of God in it, in this gospel, the righteousness of God in it is revealed by faith to faith. So as you and I begin to grow and develop, more of this righteousness is going to fill our lives. For righteousness of God in it is revealed by faith to faith, according as it has been written, but the just by faith shall live. Now, we find in 1 Thessalonians, let's look at it for a minute, 1 Thessalonians 5:8, the last part of it, and it says, and as helmet, salvation's hope. We want to talk about the hope and the glory that's attached to it. See, a lot of people have a hope, and their hope is being raptured. Their hope is a home in glory land or a shack. I've heard somebody testify, well, I'll be happy for just having a shack. Well, I won't be happy with a shack. That's not where I'm going anyway. And they're looking for streets of real gold. And I've never really liked that thought because I like the trees. I like kind of the creation and all that God has in it. And I don't want to sit up there on roads of gold that I can just, you know, hit my head on or whatever it is, just solid gold. But this is the way people are thinking. That's what they're thinking. But we find, he says, in 1 Thessalonians 5:8, the last part, and as helmet, salvation's hope. Salvation's hope. Now, in Ephesians 6:17, the first part of Ephesians 6:17, also the helmet of salvation received. So we're to receive something. 1 Thessalonians 5:8 says this salvation's helmet is hope, or this helmet of salvation is hope. But what is this hope? What is it God's trying to put into our lives to motivate us and give us an incentive to move on into the things of God? Well, let's look at first, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. Now let's look at it and take some of these scriptures. Who also made us competent as servants of a new covenant, not of letter, but of spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit quickens. Now we've tasted an earnest of the quickening power of the Spirit of God. We've tasted the earnest of this light that God has for us. And then he goes on, but if the service of death in letters, talking about the law, having been engraven in stones, was produced with glory. Isn't that amazing? When you think that Moses spent time with God in the mountain, and then God gave him the stones of the law. They were engraved in there. And when he comes down from that mountain, Mount Sinai, his face is aglow with the glory of God. And it was so strong that he had to put a veil over it. But it wasn't because it was so strong that people couldn't look on it. But they put the veil there. The Lord wanted that veil on because that glory was going to pass away. You see, people are very prone to build their tabernacles. You know, when Peter, James, and John, was it? When the Lord was transfigured on the mount, they said, Lord, let's just put a tabernacle here. I mean, we felt like doing that this morning. Lord, let's just stay right here, build some tabernacles, and let's just enjoy it. I mean, that's great. But there's more for it. Brother, what we are touching, what we're sensing is nothing to what's going to come. Think of it. Man, we're just touching the surface of this thing. Where do we get into it? Right up to our eyeballs, brother. That's going to be something else to see. That's going to be something else to feel. And let the Lord have his way. So we find here, the service of death in letters, having been engraven in stones, was produced with glory, so as the children of Israel, not to be able to look intently into the face of Moses, on account of the glory of his face, which is being annulled. It was passing away. How much rather, now here's where you and I must walk in the Spirit, live in the realm of the kingdom, because he says, how not rather the service of the Spirit shall be in glory. There's a ministry of the Holy Spirit that produces the glory of God in your life and in the services. There's a ministry of the Spirit. For if the service of condemnation be glory, much rather abounds the service of righteousness in glory. Now, when we move into this, there'll be such a righteousness produced that will bring forth the glory of God. When Jesus came from another realm, and we'll use that terminology, when he was birthed and came, and he said, now look, I've come from some other place, and really, when he came, he walked around, and he said, now I want you to take a good look. And he began to do the miracles and preach the gospel, these glad tidings that he had, and did these miracles, and there were people that sat in darkness and in the fringe of darkness. Now, they've never seen anything like this.
They'd never seen a man or the sun from a different realm. They didn't know anything about the heavenlies as Jesus Christ was going to manifest it. And so as he walked around, there were people that looked and said, man, I like that. I mean, I really like what I see. And as they saw past the flesh and penetrated just like Peter, and they saw something in his character that was manifesting the glory of the Father. And it didn't matter what situation, what the circumstances were, as Jesus walked, as the pressures came, these things happened, why they looked and said, I like it. I like it. And those who didn't receive it. But those who liked what they saw said, Lord, I want it. And the Lord said, fine. He said, you come on and you'll follow me and I'll teach you for a few years. And then when it's all over and I'm gone, I'll send you something in my place that'll produce what you've seen in me. It'll produce it in you. Now, is that fair? And they, amen. They said, yeah, that's all right. You see, we kind of like what we see in you and we feel it and we sense it and we see you helping people and we see your reactions and your attitude and we see that you're manifesting the Father. We like it. And the Lord said, fine, just follow me. Just follow me. And so we find here that the Spirit of God that was given to you is an earnest of the fullness of God, that if you'll continue to be faithful and walk in the Lord in association and union and oneness, God is going to produce in you a righteousness that will produce the glory of God. This is what's going to happen. Under the law, through Moses, all it was the service of death. All it was a schoolmaster to bring those that believed to Christ. All it was going to show people that in themselves, under the old covenant, they had come out of Egypt. They found that Egypt was still in them. They found there was no way in all the world. If they tried to obey the law, it just activated things inside. And then when it activated, they repented or asked God to forgive them, but it still was there. And the Lord said, well, I have a solution. And he put in a bloody economy. And they had the bulls and the goats, and they offered them up. And then they said, I'll never do it again. And they went right back out and did it again. And so they kept coming back with the sacrifices. Because under the old covenant, there was no life on the inside. When Jesus came, he said, now I realize when I grab you and you come in out of Egypt, I have something that's going to get Egypt out of you. And when I start to move through the power of my Spirit in you, I'll work in you, you work it out, and you'll get free of the things that have bothered you so that when it's all over, you'll have been matured to a full man, to the stature of what I am, and you'll have my fullness, and you'll do just what I'm doing. In fact, he says you'll do greater things. Greater things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, for even neither that which has been made glorious has been made glorious in this respect, on account of the surpassing glory. So we find the law had a glory that was going to be surpassed by a greater glory. Now turn to Ephesians 1, verses 17 through 20. And this is important. So allow the Holy Ghost to take your mind, listen to what he has to say, and see if you can comprehend. If you do not, if you do already, terrific. If you haven't comprehended, let the Holy Ghost produce an enlightenment here. Ephesians 1, 17 through 20, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, now you notice he's called the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowing of him. You see, people are acquainted with Jesus. I want to know him intimately. That's why when they come to the kingdom and say, Lord, have we not cast out devils? He says, I never knew you. He's not saying they didn't belong to the family. All he's saying in that Greek word says, well, I never knew you intimately. You really weren't in. Jesus Christ, he appeared to 500. But Jesus Christ had his own fold. He has a flock, and out of his father's flock, he's calling his fold. Just like it says in the tabernacle. You've got the tabernacle, you have the 12 tribes, but you have within the tabernacle a tribe that has never been counted, and their inheritance had nothing to do with what the 12 had outside. They had their own inheritance, and their inheritance was God. And so Jesus Christ has his fold, and John 10 brings that out, this sheepfold, and the Lord calls them out. He goes in. They have to go through the door to get into the sheepfold. Then the shepherd of the sheep comes, and he calls out, and he says, Mary, John, And you hear the Spirit, and He calls you out of the sheepfold to bring you into the Father, into His glory. And that's what it brings out in John 10. So here He says, the eyes of your mind being enlightened for you to know. For you to know what? What is the hope of His calling? Now, the hope of His calling is the manifestation of the sons of God. And the manifestations of the sons of God is going to be the glory of God manifested through the sons. And that's what it's talking about. For He says, the eyes of your mind being enlightened for you to know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches or the wealth, as it brings out, what the wealth of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, in you. I know the Bible tells me what He's inherited. And so He says here, what I've inherited, I'm going to put in you as my children or as my saints. And that's what He's talking about. And what the riches or the wealth of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. In the saints. And what the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working of the might of the strength which He wrought in the Christ, having raised Him from among the dead, and He set Him at His right hand in the heavenly. So God says, Jesus Christ is going to apprehend you, and if you'll be faithful, it'll be God that works in you so that you'll work it out, and eventually His inheritance will be developed in you. That's His glory. Now, I want you to look with me, if you will. So let me see, we've got so many scriptures. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, and we'll try to parallel this. But we with all of uncovered face, the glory of the Lord beholding as in a mirror, to the same image are being transformed from glory to glory. Now many of us, even if from the Lord the Spirit, many of us would like to have it done yesterday. How many like to have it done yesterday? I'd like to have it done yesterday. But we find that we can't contain it. And I'll share this with you. When God, through divine intervention, met me almost over eight years ago, and this experience that I had with my father-in-law that I shared with you, and I felt this pure prophecy, when it was finished, I remember sitting down on the couch and saying, my God, this is just something, this is unreal, you know. Why, with this, I just think I can go around the world with this. And it was absolutely fantastic. But I felt come against me a spirit of pride that was so strong when it was over. It came to my mind, the spirit of pride, I could almost feel my mouth being curled up. And I had to immediately renounce it and ask God's forgiveness. And then the Lord kind of spoke to me and said, now you understand why I cannot give it to you all at once. There must be a development in your life to move into it. It's like going from grade one to the first year university. That's pretty rough going. But if you take your grades and you pass your grades and the trial of your faith worketh continuance, the word patience means continuance, so it works continuance and you battle and you grow and you develop, when the time comes for the Lord to manifest out of you His glory, you'll be prepared for it. You'll be ready for it. And that's what He says here. He says, we're beholding as in a mirror to the same image are being transformed or changed or fashioned through the idea of the adjustment of parts. And every time a spirit comes out of you, something happens on the inside. Now, I don't know what it... I'm not a woman, so I have no idea what women feel when they go through to the time of 9 months. But there has to be within them an adjustment of parts. As that baby grows within them, there must be an adjustment inside. Things have to change. Their body structure changes. They change in temperament and a lot of other things. And as Lord, as He's building in us His image, building in us His character, this idea of the adjustment of parts is taking place. Different. It's a different form, a different structure, a different shape on the inside. So when He manifests, people are going to look at you and see you, but through you they're going to see Jesus. They're going to see something they've never seen before. That's why we have the scriptures when one is taken and the other left. Why we have the scriptures placed in the Word of God here. He says, some will walk naked. And people will see their shame. Who do you think He's talking about? He's talking about some of those in the woman, some of those in the church who are going to be there, to a husband and wife together. Suddenly the Lord receives one, just like Lot, and heir in take, or like Abraham, if they're brought into the Lord, into the fullness of God, into this sonship message, and all of a sudden the others left like Lot. There's no relationship. He didn't really know them. And so somebody said, well, they were both Christians. What happened? Somebody's walking in fullness. Somebody's walking with a covering. The other one is there. No change. What's it going to be like when the scripture comes to pass? Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And when people do not get cleaned up here, they're going to get cleaned up in tribulation. And so we find that those are going to be walking naked. And we find also in biblical antiquities that they had temple watchers. And they had a captain of the temple watchers. And if he ever came in to the temple and saw one of his watchers asleep, then he would take that watcher out to the tribes of Israel, to the main streets. He would strip them of their garments, and that person would run down through all, past all the tribes, and they would run naked, and people would see their shame. And if you and I are not being changed, if we're not being transformed from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord, then we're stagnant, and we're not going anywhere. This is what he's trying to deal with us and talk to us about. Now, I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 with me, verses 3 and 4. But also, if also is covered our glad tidings, in those perishing it is covered. Now, I realize there's an application to the unsaved. But I've often found that the Lord has written the book to Christians. God's writing the book to those who know him and want to read it. And so he says here, but if also is covered our glad tidings, and those perishing it is covered, in whom the God of this age blinded the thoughts of the unbelieving. There are people that do not believe the sonship message. They do not believe that the glory of God is going to manifest through people's lives. They do not believe that the next age people are going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. They've got everybody into everything, and they think everybody's going to be taken away, and they don't have to worry about cleaning up, getting ready, getting free. They're just quite happy the way they are. Their minds are blinded. Blinded. The thoughts of the unbelieving serve as no why? So as not to beam forth to them the radiancy of the glad tidings of the glory of the Christ, who is the image of God. And this is what the message was, to get people free, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And what it means, all have sinned and they are found deficient here, they're deficient of the glory of God. So God's plan, God's pattern is to bring us back to his glory. Now that makes sense to me. But we have others who know, I don't understand that. They don't believe that. But that's exactly what he's doing. And so the devil blinds the mind, and it brings up the thought of an opaqueness. The mind is blinded by pride. A smoke. They're enveloped by smoke. Their mind is enveloped by the smokiness of pride and the doctrines. And so there's too proud. As some brother said, it's really hard going when you have to sit down and tell people what you need to be delivered of. I mean, that gets to be pretty hairy. And when you do, it kind of knocks the pride out of you. It kind of say, and people, you know, before, one thing about now. People say, I know all my people, and I know all of their problems, and I know all the sins in their closets, and I've dealt with them all, and I can look at them and love them, and the Lord gives me a bad memory, so I don't remember half the things I did know, and they're happy that I don't know, and we kind of look at each other and smile, and I know they're going on with God. When somebody said to me, well, what happens if I share with a sister or a brother, and they start to tell people, I say, fine, if they do, we'll just pray for them for gossip. You know, get rid of it. That's right. So we don't have any. How can you have gossip when everybody knows everybody else's business? How can you have any fear of discovery of some of your sin when everyone knows? How can you? We have people that have had abortions. We've had people that have given their children away when there was, because they didn't have an abortion. They adopted it out. And they had what they call the fear of discovery. When that was gone, it didn't make any difference who knew. But that fear the enemy put into them, we don't want anybody to know. And so the church has swept it under the rug. God hasn't been able to work, and people are afraid. They walk in with the facade and the veneer, and they look like wonderful angels, and they have horns that are hidden. Once God takes care of it, then all of the blessings of God start to flow, and people start to move around free, not worrying that someone's going to knock on their door and kind of say, well, do you know that sister so-and-so had this problem and this problem? Everybody knows, and that's why there's no problem. They're free, and they're alive in God, and he that's without sin, let him cast the first stone, brother. And so when God begins to clean you up, that frees the people of God. They're not afraid anymore. It's what's in the darkness that keeps you bound. When you bring it to the light and God gets rid of it, you say, well, sure it was bad, but thank God I'm free of it. Thank God I'm free of it. Thank God I don't have to worry about adoption. Thank God I don't have to worry about the abortion. Sure, it was bad, but thank God I'm free. I remember a young lady that came to us, and this is what brought me into the truth and circumcision of the heart. She had been raised, her mother had had her illegitimately, and she was in a small town, and this little girl, she grew up there, and things that happened to her were just unreal. Things that happened. She had to get rid of an area where when she walked into a room, her eyes would follow, immediately go to the privates of a man. That's the way it was. She couldn't help it. It didn't matter where she was. She'd walk in. Even as a Christian, her eyes would directly go there. And she would get embarrassed, and she felt people were looking at her. But when I dealt with her, she said, when I was a child, people knew I was a bastard child. They knew I was illegitimate. And so when I walked down by the wharves, the fishermen there, they would drop their pants. And she said there was a traumatic thing happened. And she said, it grabbed my mind. But I remember laying hands on her and that young lady falling to the floor, and all of a sudden she's screaming, oh God, I can't breathe, I'm dying. And I knew she wasn't dying. And as she began to scream, I began to pray the prayer, the Psalm 23, you know, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And what was really happening, she was dying to the soulish area of her life, and God was freeing her. And when she was free, she couldn't contain herself. She just knew she was free. And as she grew up, her mother married an older man, and the older man, well, she grew up, said, now you can't go out with boys. He said, I don't want you to be like your mother. I don't want to have the same problem with you that your mother had. And so she was raised this way. And she would go upstairs into her bedroom, and she'd lay on her bed and begin to fantasize that she was a boy going out with a girl. And so the time came when she said to her father, I want to go with Nellie or whomever it was, and she took the role of a butch and became lesbian. And she was lesbian for a number of years. And then finally, some preacher who was going through and knew the family, he'd go in and pray in their house, and one day she got saved. She went to bed that night, she woke up the next morning, and she didn't have any desire for girls. She just had no desire. She came to Toronto and then into our fellowship and married a young man, and they got together and they were married, and then of course problems began in their marriage, and we had to get to deliverance. One morning he would call me at 2:00 in the morning, and I went over and we tried to get the thing straightened out, and then she told me her life story. And now she was married. She couldn't understand why her husband had to get up at 2:00 a.m. and watch blue movies because of the lust in him. And we prayed for that, and I knew her life. She began to share things. And all of a sudden, this young lady, and this is what brought me into circumcision of the Spirit, she phoned me and she said, Pastor, I'm going home with my husband, but I don't feel free. Now, she had had a lot of deliverance, temper, rebellion, violence, and these things had come out of her. And I said, well, I said, do you know what it is? And she said, no. And as she talked, the Lord spoke to me and said, cast out the spirit of lesbianism. I told her on the phone, and she said, oh, no, Pastor, God healed me of that 11 years ago. God healed me that I don't have it anymore. I don't have any attraction for women. I've never been with a woman. She said, I'm free. I said, you come to the church and we'll find out. If you're free, fine. We'll just check you out. 2 hours later, after 2 hours of that deliverance, God set that girl free from a spirit of lesbianism that had been resident in her all of that time. Now, my theology got a little mixed up. I figured God had healed her, she figured God had healed her, yet within her was resident a spirit of lesbianism. And God gave me the scripture, he says he will sprinkle your conscience from dead works that you might serve the living God. That's why people have a difficult time reaching back into their past. They say, well, before I was a Christian, I did this. I'm telling you, Egypt's still in us, and God's trying to get us out of it. Get out Egypt from our hearts and our lives. And this girl was totally set free. You would not know her today. She is like a rose, and the fragrance of her life just permeates those with whom she comes in contact. That's how much God's done in her. And this is the glory starting to come into her life. And she's going to grow from glory to glory. God's starting to adjust the parts in there and do something for us. So that people are blinded. And the reason they're blinded, the devil does, so it's not to bring forth to them the radiance of the glad tidings of the glory of the Christ, who is the image of God. Now, the new covenant brought into us the service of righteousness. In other words, your name has been written down. The moment you come into the family of God, God opens an account and He puts righteousness there. He imputes it to your account. He says it's there. Everything's there. God has provided through Jesus Christ everything we need, and He's opened a bank account for us. But unless you draw from it, it'll remain there. There must be an impartation of the righteousness that was imputed to you, and the impartation of it must come through the ministry or the service of the Spirit. That's why you can't grieve the Holy Ghost. People kind of put the Holy Ghost on the shelf today. They've left them out of their services and they've got them formalized now. But I'm telling you, there's nothing going to be accomplished without the blessing and moving power of the Holy Ghost. Unless you make room for the Holy Spirit of God, you are not going to go anywhere. You're not going to grow. God's not going to clean you up. Nothing's going to happen, because it's the Spirit, through the power of God, working in you and producing in you the righteousness. That's what it said in the Scripture, transformed from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. And the Spirit's going to minister to you a service of righteousness. And when the spirits go, He fills it up. Can you imagine? If you've had 1,500 spirits gone, think how much more of God you got in there. Somebody says, oh, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. No, you're not full of the Holy Ghost. You've been baptized into the Holy Ghost, and you have an earnest. But the inheritance and the fullness is yet to come, and you and I are already starting to get it. When those spirits leave, I pray for someone here one time in a convention, and we dealt with her areas, and every time a spirit came out of her, a vertebrae cracked. And when it was all over, she walked out here and said, I've been to chiropractors, they couldn't do a thing for me. And she said, every spirit that left, something cracked, and I'm going out healed. She said, I'm fine. And she said, every spirit that left, something cracked, and I'm going out healed. She said, I'm fine. And oh, brother, I can almost see the anointing of God kind of doing a chiropractor's job on there. When things come out, God moves in and He fills the areas. Can you imagine just you and God in there? Hey, isn't that great? Just your spirit and God's spirit.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You talk about senility. People that have senility, it's the only reason they have it. I don't believe in it. The only reason they have senility is because they haven't been cleaned out. And when they get to a certain age, those spirits start talking up here, and they take them back to different things that have happened. Bad things, good things, and the spirit's having a field day, and the people are coming, oh, poor mom, poor dad, oh, they're senile. They're not senile. They need to be set free.
Yeah.
They need to be delivered. Because when the spirit comes out here, God renovates your mind. For the Spirit to get in here, He had to put the thought in your mind. When you yielded to it, He took that part of your mind, and down inside He went. Now, when you cast Him out, He comes out, that part of your mind is released, and before you know it, we'll have the mind of Christ. Isn't that great? I like that. Just think, walking around with the Lord, and the Lord talking to you, not just off and on, because we have trouble hearing, but 100% of the time, you're just walking along, and all of a sudden you speak in tongues. The Lord says, that was lovely. I really like the way you sang that. How about this song? And you sing another song, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost joins in, and the both of you are having a duet together, full of the Holy Ghost, charged with the Holy Ghost, electrified with the Holy Ghost, and all of a sudden you stop, and you see someone in the wheelchair, and you say, would you please come out? I want you to walk with us. The power of God flows down through your body in this mortal body, out through your hands, and they feel the charge of God. You say it's impossible? I know a man who was lame. I know a man who was lame, sat at the gate, and all of a sudden Peter, James, and John, or whoever they were, came along, and the man's got his hand up for something that wasn't what they expected, and all of a sudden Peter said, well, I don't have any gold, such as I have, but I'll give to you, rise up and walk. That was a taste of what's coming. A taste of what's coming. A cripple outside the temple. We have cripples who are outside the temple, outside the church, brother, that need to be healed and brought into the tabernacle of God, brought into the temple of God, brought into the fullness of God, where their walk can be changed, where their lame walk will be completely destroyed through the anointing of God, and God puts that thing inside of them that they can stand up and praise the Lord because of the anointing. That's worth developing into. That's worth developing into. And so this is what it is. Look at Colossians 1:27. Through whom God did will to make known that the riches of the glory of this mystery are among the nations, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's my hope. That's the helmet. That's what I have on my mind. When things get desperate and things get hard and things kind of get you down, you say, Lord, and the Lord says, Sonny, fight the good fight of faith. Think of it. I'm working in there. You know, there are mothers that bring forth children, and I'm sure they have their bad days. I'm sure when they're pregnant and they're starting to get bigger and the hot days come and they feel sick and they get depressed and they get discouraged, then all of a sudden they'll put their hand on their tummy and they'll feel life. And they feel life, and all of the pain and all the suffering and all the heartache, it kind of goes away, and they kind of, oh, that feels great. One day, I'll have a child. Well, I'll tell you, when I feel the quickening of the earnest in there, I look forward to a manifestation of what's in there coming forth. I'm looking forward to it coming forth. When I get discouraged and I feel the anointing and the Lord says, see, just keep pressing on, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Look at Colossians 3, 1 through 4. If therefore you were raised with Christ, that's up in that kingdom realm we were talking about. If you were raised with Christ, seek the things above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Mind the things above, not the things on the earth. And brother, it's so easy to get taken up on the things on the earth. But get them on the things of God. And then he says, for you died. You're dead. You wouldn't think it the way we act. But we're dead. You died, and your life has been hid with Christ in God. Imagine you walking anywhere. I'm talking right here, right now, in these mortal bodies. If you believe that scripture and let the Holy Ghost deal with you with an arena to it, and you suddenly realize that your life is hid with Christ in God, anything that happens to you must go through the head. Anything that happens to you must go through Jesus Christ. He's permitted it. For you are hidden in Him. So whatever negative thing comes, whatever the circumstances are, you can say, Lord, I'm hiding in you, so you must have allowed it. You wouldn't think so. Why are you to me, Lord? Why me? Why wasn't it Sister Brown? She deserved it more than I did. I hope I know my Sister Brown's here. You've been there. Oh, I mean, Lord, and you get together, and somebody's, oh, poor you, and the two of you get together and have a pity party. Poor poopsie. I mean, it's terrible, isn't it? All the tough times you have, and all the things that have happened to you, and how you feel so bad, especially because you're a Christian. You love God, and you're doing such good things, and somebody, they don't appreciate anything, man. I went to church, and I took them a loaf of bread, and it was the only thing I had to give them, and they never even shook my hand and said, thank you. You're dead, all right. Dead to the anointing. Man, I've seen people come in and go out, and you stick your hand out, and there it is. It freezes to death all by itself. You know there's something wrong. And then they'll pray, oh, praise the Lord, and speak in tongues and do their thing. Brother, if your life is hid with Christ in God, it doesn't matter what happens. Somebody can trip you up and you'll fall flat in your faith and you say, pray the Lord, Jesus. They had to do it to you before they got to me, so we're down here together. Hallelujah. You're hidden with Christ in God. This is what it says. Hidden, for your life has been hid with the Christ in God. And when the Christ, our life, may be manifested, then also ye with Him shall be manifested in glory. Not up there, here. Here is going to manifest in glory, because He can't appear without His body, and you are His body. And when He appears, you'll appear, because your life is hid with Him. But there has to be development. Has to be development. Look at John 17. Or John 15. Or John 17. I don't know. One of those scriptures. I got it written down. You see, I was working on this today. And I have glory. It's got to be John 17. And I have the glory, I think it's around verse 22 or somewhere, and I have the glory which thou hast given me, hast given, what? How was he given the glory to? Them. Who's them? Do you believe it? He has given you the glory. And out of the glory which thou hast given me, have given them that they may be one as we one are. I in them, thou in me. So here it is. He's given you the glory. But what are people doing with it? They're quenching the Spirit of God. They're quenching the glory of God. They're grieving the Holy Ghost. And God says, I want you to have it. What for? So you can walk free as a liberated citizen of the heavenlies here, unrestrained, is what it brings up. I'm a citizen of the heavenlies, and I walk around here unrestrained. But I have to be free before I can walk around unrestrained. And so he says, I'll give you this glory. I'll give you this earnest. I'll give you this anointing to set you free from all your bondages. You don't have to walk around today with inferiority. Why, bless God, if your parents told you you were no good and you became inferior, and maybe you flunked every school term, every time you had an exam you flunked and you felt dumb and stupid, I'm going to tell you something. If God has a hold of you and you know the manifestation message of the sons of God and glory, I'm telling you, you're not inferior. God's put a glory in you. God's put something in you so that you'll feel worth something. And if He got you and He bought you, then you're worth something. I don't care whether you don't even know your heritage. It doesn't make any difference. If you were adopted and you were raised in foster homes, you can look and you can cry. I'm telling you, that's natural. You just live in a flesh body, but God has a hold of you, and one day this flesh body is going to be changed from mortal to immortality, brother. You're going to be transfigured into His image, so it doesn't really matter where you came from, as long as you know where you're going. As long as you know where you're going. And so when people come to me and they tell me their story about foster homes and how they've been beaten and abused and how some have been molested and incest has been committed against them, when they get rid of it all and begin to talk about the message, they begin to realize God loves them. They are not bastards. They are not illegitimate children. They belong to the family of God, and they have a Father that's going to manifest them, manifest His glory through their lives. You have nothing to be depressed about. You have nothing to be discouraged about. You say, well, the circumstances are negative. Then take authority over the circumstances. You take authority and say, Lord, I'm your child. I'm hidden you. I love you. I'm walking with you. Then you change my environment. You change my situation. It'll happen, brother. It'll happen, sister, if you'll believe God to do it for you. I remember when God brought me in 8 or 9 years ago to this message. Here I was. I couldn't be. I was in the real estate. I'd gone into real estate for a few months and years because I was tired of pastoring. Too many problems and no answers. Believe me, and there are plenty of them. Until you get in the deliverance, then you got the answer, you see. And I remember as the Lord used to deal with me, the devil would deal with me too. And he'd say, now look, if you're a son, or you believe this thing that's happening, he said, why aren't you out traveling around the world? Why aren't you out preaching? Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you bringing a salary in? There your wife is, she gets up at 5:45, and she's down in the subway by 7:30, and here she is going to work, and here you are sitting here studying your Bible. And you know, I guess my Father in heaven knew I was under a little pressure, and he got tired of hearing it. So one day, my mother was sick, was staying with us, and all of a sudden, I was studying my Bible and reading it, and all of a sudden, in here. You ever feel life in there? This is my radar system down here. Hallelujah. This is where the earnest I have it, right here. And all of a sudden, I felt a jumping, just like a live child. And I knew the Holy Ghost was all excited. You know, the Holy Ghost can get excited. He was excited. He was so excited because he wanted to tell me something. And I was in listening form, you see. And so he said to me as I was sitting there, I want you to go down and get the mail. Oh, I thought, that's great. I put my Bible down and I went down to the mailbox and I opened it up and there were two letters, one from the Bank of Nova Scotia that said I was a good credit risk and I didn't need that one because I wasn't any kind of a risk then. I didn't have any money anyway. And this letter was coming, want to come and borrow your good credit risk. The other letter was from a church in Washington. When I went back upstairs, I opened the letter, and the letter was written by the pastor. He says, a friend of yours stopped in and wanted me to send you this. And when I opened it up, there was a check there for $1,500. Well, you never heard a camp meeting like I had that day. And I waved that check in front of the devil's nose, and I said, you're a liar. My Father sent me this. My Father sent me this. He wants me to stay right where I am so I can learn some things from the Word of God. And ever since that day, I have never
being without money. That's what the kingdom message does for you. That's what the glad tidings do for you. I remember going to Washington, and I had this check, and I think it was before this, and I went to Washington and was sitting in one of the hotels there. I was going to the Full Gospel Businessmen's International Meeting, and a friend of mine had come in from Washington State, and he was sitting across, and we were having coffee and visiting, and he said, "I don't know what I'm going to do, George." He said, "I've got a mortgage on a house out in Washington State," and he said, "I'm going to lose it if I don't pay the mortgage. I'm behind, and I don't know how many, couple, three payments." And before I could shut my mouth, I said, "I'll pay it." And when I finished, my wife sat there stunned, I sat there stunned, and I couldn't take back the words that the Holy Ghost had spoken. When we got back to the hotel room, she said, "Honey, I hope you know where it's coming from." Well, then it was after that the check came in. I sent him what I promised to pay his mortgage, and from that day, he has never needed money. Never needed money. Now, I don't understand it all, but this much I know. If you let the glory work inside, you let the glory work inside, you let the Holy Ghost move in your life, you walk in that kingdom realm, things are going to take place in your life that are far beyond what you could ever ask or think. I'm not going to say it's a bed of roses, but bless God, when those things happen, it just gets you entrenched in this thing, and you're ready to get in the warfare all over again and see God do the work. And so he tells us, when the Christ, our life, may be manifested, then also he with him shall be manifested in glory. Now, Titus 2. And this is a beautiful, beautiful scripture. Titus 2. Verses 11 and 12. 13, 14, and 15. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age." Well, I don't know what they do with these scriptures if they don't believe in deliverance. Because it's an impossibility to completely live this way unless you get free in your life of some of the hang-ups that we came with when we came to God. And so we find here, looking, he says, looking for, now this is what the King James says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now let me give you one of the renderings. Awaiting the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let it sink in. Awaiting the blessed hope, that's what we're waiting for, and the appearing of the glory in here of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. I think that is absolutely beautiful. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, what else? And cleanse, purify, cleanse unto himself a deranged people. It says peculiar. I know lots of Christians think that's what it means, peculiar. And they walk around peculiar. They walk around peculiar. Man, they look like they've just come out of the ark, you know. They got the shawls on and they're dressed in black and they don't wear any kind of makeup if they need a little, and they all walk around and her husband looks, no wonder his eyes are wandering. He looks at one and says, "Man, that's not so, oh, this is better." And they think the more peculiar they look, the more Christian they are. Hogwash. Hogwash. You know what modesty is. And you can be modest and look beautiful. My wife is modest, but she looks beautiful. They look at her and they look at me and say, "This is your father." That ain't funny. Especially, maybe funny to you, but I'll tell you, after a while, if I didn't know deliverance, I'd get an inferiority complex. Many a time they've said it. I said, "Honey, things have got to change. Things have got to change." But, oh, man, you listen. There's nothing wrong with a beautiful woman. Believe me. Not, listen, the lust is gone. You can get rid of lust. You can get rid of fornication, adultery, fantasies, perversion. Get rid of it.
Get rid of it. And then you can walk in and someone is beautiful and they're dressed nice and they're modest and you can compliment them and say, you look beautiful. You're a lovely Christian. Nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it. And while I'm on that, I might as well meddle a little bit. You know? You know, like when some men come into the church, some of them come out of some rough environment. And after they've run for a while, they figure, well, I've got them. Who needs to worry about keeping them? I got them, so don't worry about them. We're trying to teach our men a few things that are necessary, like opening the car door for their lady. Like pulling a chair out when they want to sit down and kindly pushing them into the table. I don't mean throwing them in, I mean pushing them in. You know, taking off their coat, not strangling them. I've seen it. You know, some guys, they've never done it, and they're so embarrassed, and because I preached it, they're going to try it. And I've seen them put on a coat, and they've got the coat, and they don't want anybody to know they're doing it, and they got the coat way out here, and their wife's got one arm in, and she's... So you go along and say, man, her arm's here. Would you just put it on? My wife taught me a lesson. You see, I go in the restaurant and I'll sit down and she'll stand. And she'll say, is there a gentleman in the house? Well, because I don't want her to get too loud, I say, yes, there's one. That's part of sonship. That's part of the glory of God. Treat your women right. Love your wife and she'll submit. She'll submit. That's the scripture. Love your wife and they'll obey because they know you love them. You're not doing something out of, well, you do it or I'll... This one says K-I-S-S and this says L-O-V-E. Which one do you want? And so if because of intimidation, because they lose their identity, because they're overpowered and they don't want to fight, they'll go along with it only for so long. When you come into sonship and into the glory of God and the Spirit of God's working in you, He gets just as grieved if you don't treat your wife like you should. He's just as grieved with that as anything else. But it's all right for us to get away out there, you see, and let our wives get her own chair, call our wives out, do those things that we figure they should be doing, and we're the macho, and we're going to crack the whip, and we call ourselves developing into sons. And the glory of God, that's not right. That's not right. And our men are coming. Some of them were farmers. No reflection on farmers. That's right. We're trying to make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. And it's coming. It's coming. They're moving into it, bless God. They're starting to know how to love their wives. They're starting to know how to treat their wives. And what that does is bring a harmony and a relationship. And God's glory starts to manifest through both of those people. And it starts to permeate and infiltrate the home. And people they want to be there because they sense the love and the presence of the glory of God. And that's exactly what He's talking about. He wants us to do just that. Now, looking at 1 Timothy... I'll finish here in a few minutes. 1 Timothy 1, verse 11. According to the glad tidings of the glory of the blessed God, which I was entrusted with. How beautiful that is. According to the glad tidings of the glory. The glad tidings of the glory. That's what deliverance is all about. That's what setting the captives free is all about. It's to get us to the place where God renovates and changes us into His image. Here in this world, so the world can see Christ in us. They haven't seen Him yet. And outside they look and they wonder what's going on. Church splits, church denominations, all of this business. All they want to see is God moving in people. All they want to feel is the love of God emanating from your life and mine. And that will reach them. And in Philippians 3:21, He said, He will transform our body of humiliation. For it, our body, for it to become conformed to His body of glory, according to the working of His power, even to subdue Himself all things. His power in us will subdue everything, if we're willing for the power to work. But there are those who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They hold it down. They have the power. They deny the power. They have a form of godliness. And that's in our denominations now, coming forth in some of our Pentecostal churches. A form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. For the power to work and bring forth righteousness. For the power to work and bring forth the glory of God. For the power to work and bring forth the image of Jesus Christ. And so we see that happening in our churches.
Well, what other scriptures do we have here? 2 Corinthians 4:4. Well, I think we took that one, so let's look at Romans 5:2.
Through whom also access we have by faith into this grace in which we stand. Now notice, and we boast. Once we've come into this grace, that's the first step. Then we boast in hope of the glory of God. Many are called, few are chosen. And in Mount Zion, that 144,000 that stood with the Lamb,
they were the ones that were faithful. Three steps.
Called, chosen, faithful.
And we find here in Romans 5:2,
through whom also access we have by faith.
That's how it works.
Into this grace in which we stand, and we boast. What? In hope of the glory of God.
You and I are boasting of it. What are we boasting? One day the glory of God's going to manifest through us.
Look at Colossians 3:4. We've already had it. We'll read it again. When Christ our life may be manifested, then also ye with him shall be manifested in glory. Look at Colossians 1:27. To whom God did will to make known what the riches of the glory of this mystery are among the nations, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And one other scripture, 1 Peter 3:15. 1 Peter 3:15.
So many scriptures on the glory of God.
But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Purify or consecrate or make holy the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with pride and high-mindedness.
Is that what it says in your Bible?
No. He says you give an answer for this hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Meekness, a type of humility and fear, because you might miss it. Holy Apostle said he could miss it, lest I become a castaway. Preach it to others, not live it out, not walk it out, not let God do in me what he wants to do. He said, I don't want to become a castaway.
He that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. And so God speaks to us tonight or this afternoon about the glory. I want the glory. You want the glory. We're allowing God to work in us. That's why we're here.
And so this afternoon as we move into deliverance, you ask God to set you free from anything that you know of. If it's a relationship with your husband that's wrong. If he's all wrong and you're all right, then you better ask God what's wrong with you.
Because you're not all right.
And whatever it is, if it's hollering, if it's swearing, if it's depression, if it's discouragement, I'm telling you, you have no reason to be despondent. You have no reason to have despair. You have no reason to feel lonely. You have no reason to feel anything other than the anointing and the glory of God. But you say, Pastor, we live in this world. Yes, that's our state.
But our standing never changes. I live and walk in the realm of God. And sometimes I got to pick myself by the scruff of the pants and use this foot and kick it. And say, get up and move on. Get out of the pity party. Get out of the depression. Get out of the discouragement. Get rid of it and move on. You're a son of God. You're moving into it.
And even though that people can't see it, they didn't see it in Jesus Christ, but one day they will. One day they will.
And all you've got to do is let God do it in you today. Would you bow your heart with me this afternoon? Hallelujah. 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 For a moment, I want you just to breathe in the anointing of God. I want you just, for a moment, to get your mind in that realm and think for a moment that Christ is in you. Right now in you is developing a son. In you is developing Isaac. In you is developing that which is of the Spirit. In you, the Spirit of God can quicken your mortal body. If you believe in you is a power, it's greater than any hydrogen bomb or anything else they've got that blows up things.
in you is a power, the dunamis, that if you'll allow that right now to release, you'll be able to feel a quickening start to flow like a river through the innermost part of your being. Start to breathe in the anointing of God. And when he comes to that hidden area, when he comes to that obstruction in your life, say, Lord, I want it out. If it's pride, if it's ego, if it's self-centeredness, if it's jealousy, if it's envy, whatever it might be, if it's greed, if it's the love of money, whatever it is, criticism, murmuring, complaining, backbiting, gossiping, whatever it is, I want you just to let the anointing that's in there. He's in you. How many believe he's in you? How many believe it? Lift your hands then and say, Lord, you're in me. You're in me, Lord. You're in me, Lord. I don't need my anger. I don't want this anger. It belongs to the devil. I want to give it back to the devil. I don't need the violence. Start to breathe in the anointing. Start to breathe in the anointing. Start to give out. Start to give forth that thing that hinders your life. All the things that you know about. I don't want you to have be introverted. I just want you to let them go, the loneliness. I want you to let go the insecurity. I want you to let go that feeling that you're dumb and stupid. I want you to let go that feeling that you're worthless and you don't amount to anything. I'm telling you, God has put a wealth in you that is starting to grow, starting to develop, starting to increase. Let the kingdom increase inside. For the kingdom is the spirit, and the spirit is life. And the life will quicken your mortal bodies. It will flow like a river and move through every joint and marrow of your life. It will bring and straighten the crooked places. It will heal those things that have died. It will resurrect and bring life into the bowel, into the liver, into the heart. The resurrection of the power of God will move into your mind and into your brain. It will destroy the cancer. It will destroy the gross. It will do those things that only the life of God in you can do. For no man can do those things. Only God that works in you can do those things. Release the anointing. Release the kingdom. For out of the kingdom shall flow the blessings of God. Out of the kingdom shall flow the glad tidings. And it shall set you free. Ye that are captive to those things are infirm. Those things that are hurt thee. He will move from the kingdom within thee. And he shall flow like a river and destroy the obstruction in your path on the inside of your life. He will take the vertebrae and he will create new vertebrae, and he will place between the vertebrae the covering and the padding that is needed, so there will be no more pain and no more friction. Release the anointing within your life. Release the anointing in your body. Release the flow of life and allow the Holy Ghost to heal thee. Allow the Holy Ghost to set you free. Allow Jesus Christ in you to manifest the kingdom and the glad tidings of it, for he is in your life through the power of his Spirit.
Hallelujah. 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 Breathe him in. Just breathe him in. Close yourself in and get your mind in the heavenlies. Let God take over. I bind the spirits of hell. I bind the spirits of hell. In the name of Jesus, I come against the principalities and powers in our life. I come against those authorities that are strong in our lives. I come against the rebellion. I come against the unbelief. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command to be loosed. Loose in the authority of Jesus' name. Loose in the authority of Jesus' name. That's it. Breathe it out. Breathe in the anointing and breathe out the devil. Breathe in the anointing and breathe out the power of hell. Loose in the authority of Jesus' name. Loose in the authority of Jesus' name. Loose in the authority of Jesus' name. The blood is sprinkled by faith. Loose in the authority of Jesus' name. Just lift yourself up into God. Let him deliver you. Let him deliver you. Let him deliver you. Speak it out, the thing you want to renounce. Say, I renounce it. I renounce it. Say, I renounce whatever it is. Renounce it. Renounce it in the name of Jesus. And let the power of God break you loose today. Let the power of the Spirit break you loose. Let the glory of God manifest today. Father, we claim the anointing. We claim the glory to break the yoke right now and bring your people into the power of the Spirit. We come against the spirit of sadness. We come against the spirit of hurt. In the name of Jesus, let the hurt go right now. I want you to renounce hurt. Let the hurt go. Let it go, dear. Let the hurt go. I renounce hurt in the name of Jesus. 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 Just breathe out. We bind your power in the name of Jesus. We bind the spirit of hurt. We cast out hurt. We cast out disappointment. We cast out sadness. We cast out a broken heart. We cast out grief. We cast out mental anguish. We command it to loose. Loose in the authority of Jesus' name. Loose in the authority of Jesus' name. Loose in the authority of Jesus' name. Loose in the name of Jesus Christ. Loose in the name of Jesus Christ. Just breathe in the anointing. Breathe in the anointing. Let the fear go. Let the fear go. Let the fear go. Fear of man. Fear of being. Fear of manifestation. Fear of demonstrating. I just want you to let the fear go. Let the fear go. Let the fear go. In the name of Jesus Christ, we take authority over fear. We bind fear in Jesus' name. We bind fear, the fear of being confined, the fear of being enclosed in places. That fear, we come against it in Jesus' name. It's like a smothering, and I come against that smothering spirit. I come against that smothering spirit. In the name of Jesus, it makes it hard to breathe. I bind that fear that brings that smothering, heavy feeling in that chest today. I loose it. Come out, you smothering demon. Out, you spirit of fear. Out in the authority of Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Out in the name of Jesus Christ. That smothering thing that causes you pressure in your chest, that's fear, let it go. I come against that spirit of terror. I come against that spirit of panic. In the name of Jesus, I bind panic. I bind terror. I bind fear. Loose in the name of the Lord Jesus. Loose in the authority of Jesus' name. For the blood of Jesus Christ sets us free. Loose in the authority of Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. All panic. All panic, all terror, all terror, all terror, all terror. You have been placed in some place that's dark. Somebody's been placed in something that was dark as a child. And they've had fear ever since. They've had a smothering feeling. I want you to let it go. Loose in the name of Jesus Christ. Loose in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, you smothering demon of hell. Hallelujah. Lay hands on that brother. If his hand's up to get prayed for, lay hands on him. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, breathe out that thing. Let it go. I don't care how it goes, but get rid of it. Come out, you spirit of fear. Come out, you smothering demon of confinement. Come out, you spirit of fear of the dark. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, you spirit of fear of confrontation. Fear of confrontation. I bind that spirit of fear of confrontation. Loose in the name of Jesus. Loose in the name of Jesus Christ. Loose in the authority of Jesus' name. Oh, you're intimidated. You've been intimidated. I want to get rid of that spirit of intimidation. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bind the spirit of intimidation. I bind that overwhelming thing. I bind that spirit that's aggressive and intimidating. Loose in the name of Jesus. Loose in the authority of Jesus' name. Loose in the authority.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.